Y'all, today we are going to talk about an encounter Jesus had with a Samaritan woman who in Scripture is referred to the woman at the well. So if you want to look over the Scripture on the table, just read through it, note anything that stands out to you or catches your attention, and then we'll get started. Did anything in particular stand out to you as you read? Anything that you noted? Yeah. That was one of the first things I was going to talk about. And every single version of Scripture that I looked up uses the word had. I went through as many versions as I could, and I was like, yes, everybody, everything says had. And I love that about it, because look at this map. I wish I had a little laser pointer. But because, let me give you some history. The kingdom of Israel split into the northern and southern kingdom after the reign of Solomon. The southern kingdom was known as Judah, the northern kingdom as Israel, and Israel made Samaria its capital. Later, the northern kingdom was defeated by the Assyrians, and Gentiles moved in, and then the mix of Gentiles and Israelites became known as the Samaritans, and the faithful Jewish people did not want to have anything to do with them. So normally what they would do is, if they were going from Judea to Galilee, they would cross the river and go up through Decapolis and enter into Galilee. They would not go straight up through Samaria because they didn't want to have anything to do with those people in the northern kingdom. So Jesus did not go the correct route for a faithful follower, you know, a faithful Yahweh follower. He had to go through Samaria. And I love that he did that he had to. As we go through this story, you realize he had to because of this woman. So verse 3 says, so Jesus left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. So in this story, it's noon, and Jesus is sitting by the well resting. And in those days, women gathered together early in the morning and went to the well. They didn't go at noon. The morning was cooler. They went in community. They walked through the town together. They shared stories, and I can just imagine everyone talking on their way to the well before they started their day with all of the work that they had on their plate. But this woman was not a woman that the other women wanted to associate with. So she went at noon, the hottest part of the day, all alone. And who's waiting for her at the well? So when the woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Because his disciples had gone into town to buy some food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Because Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So think about how this must have stunned her. Like, here's a Jewish man sitting alone by the well, and she's alone, and he asks her for a drink, a Samaritan woman who's unclean to the Jewish people, and obviously, she's there for a reason at noon. So Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." So how does Jesus respond? He doesn't respond with, "I'm just really thirsty. I need you to give me some water. You're here. You have something to draw it with." He puts the question back on her. If you only knew who was asking you for a drink, you would have asked me for a drink. So the woman said, Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? And I wish I had this history, but that says volumes, because the years that that well has been in existence and never gone dry is amazing. And I'm sorry I didn't look that up again, but Jacob. We all remember Jacob. How long ago was Jacob? And that well is still giving water. And that's where she is. And so, and I love her. You've got nothing to draw water with. You know, everything's so literal to her, and Jesus is just drawing her into his heart. Everyone, and he said to her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. So what do you think her heart was really saying? Please help me not have to walk through the town at noon by myself with this jar of water, because nobody wants me with them. I'm ostracized when I walk through the town at noon. I come here by myself. I have no community. Please give me the living water so I never have to do this again. And I'll just hide in my corner in the town and not have to do this. I feel like I like to think of her voice as kind of desperate, like, please, please, would you give me this? I don't want to do this anymore. So what does Jesus do? He completely does not answer her question. He's going to spend some time drawing her out some more. He just goes straight to her heart. Go call your husband and come back. The woman said, I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus keeps calling her out. You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Well, how would you feel if you were her in that moment? How would you feel if this man that you've never seen before, and he's sitting by the well alone, tells you what your life is like? Yes, very exposed. Suppose maybe a tiny bit of curious somewhere in her heart of, who is this? But mostly exposed. Probably some shame washes over her, because what does she do? Completely changes the subject. Sir, I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Talk about changing. Let me get to a deep theological question. Where are we really supposed to worship? And let's not talk about the fact the man I'm with is not my husband. And Jesus is calm, and he responds to her question. Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. And then the woman, this sweet woman, she knows about the Messiah to come. I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. Like, I feel like there's hope in her. Like, one day something will make sense, because he's supposed to come. And he's going to explain everything to us about how we should worship and where we should worship. Then Jesus said, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. And then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. And I wonder what that was, a woman, a Samaritan woman, a woman alone with him. I can't imagine all the things in their going through their minds. And I wonder if, as the disciples sometimes did, if they weren't like, who is that? Whispering to each other. Who is that? What is he doing? What is she doing? Why is she here at noon? Nobody comes at noon. She should have come in the morning. You know, all their little voices talking back and forth about who this woman is. And then, leaving her jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? So they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Okay, to me, this is just such a rich, deep, rich scripture. Jesus reveals himself. His disciples come back and are wondering what's going on, just standing there. She puts down her jar. We don't know if she ever filled it up. Did she ever give Jesus the drink he asked her for? I don't think so. I think he asked her to start this conversation, to get it going, to move in, to pursue her heart. And she leaves her jar, the whole reason she came out there by herself in the hottest part of the day, so lonely, was to get water, to walk back through town all by herself and go home, to be alone with a man that wasn't even her husband. And what does she do? She just drops everything and runs back to town, telling everyone, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Well, they know what she ever did because they always ostracized her. And I don't think she was ashamed. I think she just, I don't know who he is, but come see him. And so what happens? Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So these people go out to him. They meet him because of a woman that they used to not pay any attention to. Ignored, stayed away from her, as far away from her as they could. But she, God had an appointment with her that day. He was going to restore her soul, cause her to go back to a town of people that ostracized her, and caused her to be alone. And she was the one that he used to bring those people out of the town to know him. Because of his many words, many more became believers. Think about what would have happened in that town if Jesus hadn't sat there by the well, if he hadn't had to go through Samaria and meet that woman, that sweet, very lonely, heartbroken woman. That Jesus restored her life. And then I just love the beauty of when he steps into someone's life and he changes your heart and he makes you his, the freedom there is in sharing who he is and not worrying about your story or the history you may have or the heart you may have in your story. You share what God has done. And all of us have some hard, and all of us have some great joy that we can share too. It's not always the hard that brings beauty to who Jesus is. It's the joy that we have in him. And I personally have a harder story that includes abortion before I became a believer. But Jesus restored that in me through our PACE ministry, which is a very sweet post-abortion ministry, but just the joy that God gave me after that, because he stepped down into the midst of that group and he lifted my head and he said, my death on the cross even covered death. My death on the cross covered everything you've done and everything you could ever do, because you're still sinning, because you were born in a sin nature. But tell people about me. Tell them what I've done in your life. That's what he wants. And all of us have the joy of sharing Christmas with people. The other night we sat in this room. It was the older people in the church at the vision night. And people around the room just shared stories. They opened the mic up to people to tell stories. And I was so amazed at all the people that said, well, we came here because they, on the other side of the room, invited us. We're here because they invited us. We're here because a neighbor was nice enough to put a Christmas program invitation on our mailbox. We're here because that person invited us. And I don't know if y'all know the so-and-sos, but they invited us. And this couple that invited that couple, their children invited them. And they started coming. And I thought, this is what happens when God's people do what he's called them to do. The joy of people coming into the body of Christ and joining a community of believers to go out and do the same. Now, I have never gone to my whole town like this woman did, but I don't think towns were as big as even my little town of Duluth. But getting in our communities, being the light of Christ to other people, changes lives. And when you read a story like this and you think, because I just think, she ran back to go tell all the people that had hurt her. She didn't pick other people. She knew why they had done what they did, but it was very hurtful to her. And she was alone in that town, but she went back to them with great joy because Jesus revealed himself to her. And those people came out and they believed, and then look what she had to share in common with the people in her town. The joy of knowing that the Messiah had already come and that he was walking among them. So my encouragement to you in this story is Jesus can cover anything in a life. And when you share with other people, be open to hear what their story is and remind them, tell them, Jesus took care of that. He came to take care of those that he calls to be his own. And he took care of their sins, every single one of them. And I know, there's so many young women at our church that have had miscarriages and loss and hurt. And I know Jamie told y'all about Lindsay a few weeks ago, but Lindsay's story was so beautiful of them going through that whole pregnancy knowing their baby wouldn't live. And she and her husband and the two children they had then prayed that they would get 24 hours with her. And the hospital let them all. They set up a nicer room for them. She had the baby. They all spent the night with Rebecca Joy in the hospital. And they were all with her when she took her last breath the next day. They had that time with her, and they let her go into the arms of the Lord. They knew that's where she was going, and it was just the sweetest picture. And to see the pictures of them with her in the hospital, and for God to answer that prayer, meant more to them than anything. And then a few years later, they did have another little girl, and Rebecca Joy's picture is up in their house of all of them around her in the hospital because she's their other daughter and always will be. But it was just beautiful to watch God work in the midst of that hurt. In a secular community, that could have been very hard and a lot of anger and frustration. And don't get me wrong, they went through their anger stage of knowing that Rebecca Joy wouldn't live. But God gave them joy in answering that prayer for a day with her and for everybody to spend the night with her and be present with her when they let her go into God's arms. So I just encourage you to think about, like, leave here today remembering the goodness of God and how he's called us to share his word. So I know we're early, but y'all take some time at the table to discuss about what stood out to you most, what was the most meaningful part of that encounter to you and why. To me, I have whittled this talk down several times because I'm like, oh, and what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And what about this? Because it's very rich. Jesus' goodness. And God's, okay, let's move your disciples out of the way because they probably wouldn't let her get near him, because they were protective, and she was a woman alone, and that wouldn't have been right. That would have looked bad. But they were gone to go get him some food. I love them. I love his disciples, as impulsive as they were. I love them. But anyway, let's talk.